Welcome back to Copper Country Today, heard Sunday mornings at 7 o'clock on 97.7 The Wolf, 8 o'clock on AM 1400 WCCY, and 9 o'clock on KBear 102.3. Our program is brought to you by the members of the Copper Country Education Association and by the Copper Country Veterinary Clinic, providing the highest quality in medical care to help their patients live longer and healthier lives. My guest today is Andy Sikkema from the Michigan Department of Transportation, here to talk about what some people maybe don't want to hear about, which is construction that's going to be going on. Thank you for joining me, Mr. Sikkema.
Oh, thank you. It's always good to be able to get our projects out so people know what they're going to expect over the summer and probably in the next couple of years.
Yeah, and it's looking like we got two major projects that are going to be coming up. If you could start off with the M26 Ripley project, go a little bit into detail about when and how did the planning for this start?
Yeah, I mean, typically our projects, especially the ones, the more major projects, like the project we're going to do on M26 in the Ripley area, take several years to put together. We're typically planning those 5 to 6 years out, and this is a project we've worked on for many years to try to get the contracts together and get the designs done. And this summer, we're going to start the project.
And when it was brought up, was it mostly the public who said, I mean, we need these roads fixed, or was it more alongside of safety concerns?
Well, you know, all projects, and like this one here, we keep track of records on what road conditions are. We also, which is really the driving factor when we go out and we do a major project. We're looking at the remaining service life of the road condition. And this is one that, you know, it had been worked on in the 1990s, and it's become due for a project to try to improve the road surface. But when we do come up with projects and we're going to do a major improvement like this one is partial reconstruct, we also start to take a look at what the safety concerns are on the road. Has there been crashes or any crash trends that we could correct? And in this case, we did find some things that we thought we could make some improvements in some of the road geometrics, the alignments, vertically and horizontally, that could help reduce the number of crashes that we see out there.
And what specifically are those kind of adjustments that you guys will be making?
Well, in the case of this road, it's a road that's been pretty much on the same alignment since it was constructed or taken over as a state highway probably in the 1920s or 30s. And it's modern, you know, modern vehicles, the speed of the traffic has changed, and it's time to really start to make some improvements to make it look more like a modern highway. And those changes would be maybe flattening some of the curves so that they're not quite as sharp, improving some of the roadside conditions where we can put on full-width paved shoulders, looking at the vertical grade or the amount of hills that are in there to try to reduce some of those hills to improve sight distances and make it a little bit easier for motorists to drive.
Now, have you done any research in terms of traffic flow, whether it's coming, more cars are coming towards Dollar Bay or if they're coming to the towards the bridge? What's traffic going to be like?
You mean during construction?
Yeah.
We're looking at it. It's been pretty stable out there for many, many years, the amount of traffic that is out there. It has increased a little bit, you know, traffic commuting in from the Lakeland and Dollar Bay area. It probably has gone up a little bit over the years, and we're trying to compensate for that. And one of the things that we are doing to try to help with that a little bit is there's currently a three-lane section or a roadway with a center turn lane right as you come off from the lift bridge. And we're going to extend that three-lane section further to the east. That gets you up near the ski hill. And what that'll help is that if a vehicle is trying to make a left-hand turn, they can get out of the regular driving lane and get into a protected left turn lane. That'll allow the cars driving straight through to overpass the car safely and not have to, like, pull off onto the shoulder to get around them or have to stop in traffic. So that's something that we do to try to compensate for the increase in traffic that we're seeing.
And how will this affect some of the local businesses? I mean, one of the bigger ones in that area is Mont Ripley. Do you see this having any kind of maybe adverse effect?
Well, our work is going to start, you know, early this spring, hopefully in May, weather depending. But we'll get a start there, and we should be able to finish the project up probably in October or around the first November before the ski season starts. So We're hopeful that we won't really have a lot of impacts to the businesses, especially the ski hill. If anything, we'll hopefully will help their entrances and some other things to make it easier to get in and out of those businesses.
And there's been a lot of work that's being done on M26. Is this the final piece of the puzzle, or do you foresee any more projects being done?
Well, and you're right. We've over the years, probably in the last 10 years, we've done a significant amount of work on M26, and we, you know, it's a road that probably has been really brought up to a modern standard. There were segments that probably improvements were made on. They're mostly the projects prior to that, and you know, before 10 years ago. We're mostly just trying to improve the road surface, to resurface the road, so you know, you eliminate the potholes and the bumps. But the projects that we've done in the last 5 years, we're trying to bring them up to a standard. We've worked in Dollar Bay, we've worked in Lake Linden, Tamarack, those areas to try to put in better drainage, better delineate the side roads that come in, then try to make the road a little bit easier to drive with center turn lanes. We've also just finished up a major project in Laurium that kind of reconstructed the whole community of Laurium. So we're trying to do some major work in there and trying to fix the drainage issues, some of the safety issues, and just make it a lot easier to drive. This is kind of the final piece that we have scheduled. This is the one that goes from the lift bridge up to Dollar Bay. So it should be a real nice improvement and kind of caps off what we've been doing there for the last 5 years.
A question that a lot of people have been asking is about the bridge. I mean, how long is it going to be able to just stand there? It's one of the great icons of this area. What was it like planning for a project like this?
The lift project, that's a project that's going to be coming up, and not starting this summer, but it'll start late this fall or into the winter. The project, the bridge is in great shape. We do detailed inspections on it every 5 years, and in addition to that, we do kind of routine inspections of it every year, and it's in great shape, and it's been very reliable. But what we want to do is, because it is so critical to the community, because it is the access point beginning the Keweenaw Peninsula, that we want to make sure that we keep up with our preventative maintenance and keep the bridge in good working order. And that's what this project is to do, is just to continually do that preventative maintenance type of work to try to stay ahead of any problems that could occur. This is a major project where we're replacing some of the major components of the bridge, being the lift cables. But it's just one of those things that we have to do to keep the bridge in good working order.
Now, I was able to see some of the pictures of the cables that are going to be adjusted, and man, it looks like it's going to be a lot of heavy-duty work that's going to be done to it.
Yeah, this is the lift cables are original. They're the cables that were on there when the bridge was constructed in 1959 and fully opened in 1960. They look at how many times the bridge is open, the age of the cables, those type of things, and they decided that now was the time that we may replace those cables. So there isn't an unforeseen condition that happens out there where it might make the bridge inoperable or have to do an emergency repair. So we're trying to schedule this work. You know, there could be corrosion in the cables that start to occur, or just the fatigue that's involved in lifting the bridge. So they want to get out there. It is a major project. The cables are quite long and quite heavy, and they're going to take some extended closures, and we can talk about that in a minute if you like. But it is a major project. Hopefully we can get it done without too much impact. Most of the work's going to be done in the winter, all the major work will be done in the winter when the bridge is kind of dormant because the canal's not open to marine traffic.
And, of course, if you could go into those delays, because, I mean, it seems like there will be a few just maybe 15 to 20-minute delays, but there could be some big ones.
Yeah, I mean, in the process of doing this, there's some procedures, and we've hired a consultant that does this kind of work and is doing the design work for this project, and they're known internationally just specifically for doing these major repairs on lift structures. To do that, we have to release the tension on the cables, and And what you have to do is you kind of got to jack the bridge up and lock the counterweights in position and release the tension on the cables. And then we can take unattach the cables from the lift span. And that requires us to jack the bridge up off its bridge seat, so it's not going to be open to automotive traffic at that time. And that's going to be a kind of a lengthy closure. It's going to be probably in the 10-hour range that we're going to have to close the bridge to automotive traffic. And then when we reattach the cables onto the lift span, it's going to reverse that procedure, and that'll be another 10-hour closure. And the projection is that there'll be one 10-hour closure that'll happen sometime in early to mid-January of 2015, and then there'll be another 10-hour closure that would happen in March of 2015. And they're just a necessary part of this thing. That's going to happen at night in the low-volume period for cars. It'll be well-publicized. That we'll get the information out. We'll make special provisions for emergency traffic. If we have to get an ambulance across the lift deck, we'll put temporary ramps up there that'll accommodate that type of traffic. But for routine traffic, you know, typical automotive traffic and non-emergency traffic, it'll be closed to those type of vehicles. And we'll try to make sure it's well announced, well in advance, and continuously up until the closures, and we'll give updates during the closures and try to get it back open as quickly as we can.
And in terms of how the lanes are going to be used, is there going to be one lane basically on both sides, or is one side of the bridge going to be used? How is that going to be used during times of the construction?
Yeah, I mean, routinely during construction, it'll be down to one lane in each direction in the major periods. And a lot of this work, it's going to start up. It's going to go for several months. Then the periods when it's not nearly as busy, then we'll start up again. But for the majority of the time between January of 2015 and into the fall of 2015, and then intermittently through the winter of 2016, traffic will be down to one lane in each direction. There will be times that they have short duration when we'll move all the traffic. Maybe northbound traffic will and southbound traffic will share the west side lanes. So we'll have to do some major shifting in there at certain times, but those should be short duration, probably in a matter of 1 or 2 weeks or maybe up to a month where we're going to make some major changes in the traffic flow. But typically what you're going to see is one lane in each direction will be closed to through traffic. But there will always be one lane maintained at all times, except for when we have the closures. And, you know, we talked about the real long closures. And I don't know if you want me to go into a little bit more detail on some of the shorter-term closures.
Yeah, if you could. Yeah, please.
You know, in addition, you know, that we're talking about the lift cables and the two major closures, the one in January and February. That'll be long duration, about 10 hours. In addition to that, we're going to have to do some shorter-duration closures in probably the 3-hour range or 2 to 3-hour ranges, because we also have to take off the balance change. And when you look up there, and most people probably don't notice them, but you'll see these chain-looking, heavy-duty chains that look like they're hanging from the counterweights and off from the bridge structure. And they're called a balance chain that compensates for weights of the spans as the bridge moves up and down. And we have to do major work on those chains, and so we have to take the chains down to put new bushings on them because they're starting to seize up a little bit. Each time we take one of those chains down or we put one of those chains back up, we're going to have one of these 3-hour delays because we can't lift them over top of active traffic. So we're going to have to hold the traffic, take a chain down, or put a chain back up. There's 8 chains in total, so that's going to be 16 closures that are going to be in that 3-hour range. And those, again, will be at night during off-peak periods. They'll be well advertised, and people will know when they're coming up. And then we'll do the same thing. We'll make sure that people get good information during the work so we can keep them up to date. In addition, there's going to be a number of short-term closures. That'll be in the 15-minute range. So as we're doing things like hoisting materials up or hoisting them down, we want motorists to be safe and we don't want to be hoisting equipment or materials over top of active traffic. So we'll have a number of 15-minute closures. It'd be real similar to if you were going through any construction project. You know, the cars will stop, we'll do the work, and then it'll be reopened and traffic can go on its way. The vast majority of those will be done at night, so most people won't be impacted because it'll be at the low volume times. And again, we'll make sure that if there's an evening that we're going to have a number of those 50-minute closures, we'll do our best to get that information out in the media to do the best so people are informed of what they should expect that night.
You're listening to Copper Country Today here with my guest, Andy Sikkema from MDOT. And just getting through with one of the more historic winter seasons that we've had in the area, of course, the issue of weather will come up. Has that been assessed by MDOT?
In relation to the lift bridge project?
Yeah, yeah.
We've looked at that. This is not the first time that we've had to work on the bridge during the winter months. This is real typical. We haven't done it for about 15 to 20 years, where we've had a major project that has to be done in the winter when the bridge is dormant. But, yeah, that's something that we've considered, and we're going to allow that into the schedules that we have so the contractors have more than enough time to be able to complete the work, knowing that there's going to be periods where they're not going to be able to work because of the severe weather. We've been dealing with both the city of Hancock and Houghton, who do the winter maintenance on the bridge, and we're looking at what are those impacts and what's the best way to get the contractor on the bridge to do their work and getting their equipment off so that we can clean snow off the bridge after a major storm event. So we're trying to address all those things and be ready for that. And like I said, this is not the first time they've had to do major work in the winter on the bridge, and I think we'll have a pretty good handle on it, and things should flow fairly smoothly. And I guess we'll hope for, you know, a winter that's not too severe.
And how will MDOT be keeping motorists up to date on these delays?
You know, what we're looking at there, and we're just in the preliminaries of trying to come up with all of our strategies to make sure motorists and the residents of the area are well-informed, and even the people that aren't close by. And one thing that we've done, we've set up a major project website. We're getting that up online, and we're starting to put some information on that, and that's at, and you can get to our major project websites off from our webpage, which is michigan.gov/MDOT, and then you can get to our major project site. So if you look under projects, you can get to that. As we get closer to the project and we're starting to make impacts, another good site that's out there that's used for all of our road closures, whether it's maintenance or a construction project related, is our drive site. And that can be reached at michigan.gov/drive. And that's a really good resource for anybody that's traveling around Michigan, because it'll list out all of the current lane closures that are out there, whether it's by a utility company making improvements, maintenance work, or construction projects. We're also looking at trying to use our Twitter pages, especially our UP underscore U, MDOT underscore UP Twitter site, so that we can provide people that like to use Twitter to get updates. They can follow us on Twitter, and as things happen at the bridge during the course of the construction, they could get information on that. We'll also be setting up Facebook pages, and one of the things that we're looking at is trying to set up a listserv program under email, so if people like to get the information through email, they can sign up for that. And the information will be out in the media on how to sign up for that, those email alerts.
Now, of course, after the work is done, how long before you think these adjustments might need to be made again?
Well, I mean, the lift cables, the last one's been there well over 50 years, and we're going to do the same style work but using more modern material. So, you know, I think that, you know, the replacement of the lift cables or the repair work, you know, done on the balancing chains, won't happen again, hopefully, for another 50 years. But there will be other work that will be done on the lift bridge, you know, to try to keep up with the maintenance on that. There will probably be some deck projects that will come up over the next 10 years. There will probably be some more zone painting or spot painting to make sure that we take care of any of the corrosion issues that are happening or losses of paint on the structure. And those will happen probably, you know, every 5 to 10 years. You'll see minor projects that happen on that in that order. But, you know, a real major project like what we're looking at here, you know, replacing the cables would be many, many years out. But I'm going to guess that within 10 years you'll see another project on the bridge, you know, whether it's related to, the, you know, making repairs to the deck or doing painting, you'll probably see a project in the 10-year range.
And like you said, it's going to be starting in the winter, but it looks like it's going to be overlapping into not this upcoming summer, obviously, but summer 2015. Will there be any impact on tourist destinations along the lakeshore or any events that are going to be held towards the lakeshore? Because, I mean, it is one of the more popular places that people go.
Yeah, and we look at that as we set up our plans for the bridge. The contractors are made aware of any major events, and those are the things that we work on, and we try to avoid working or major impacts that would impact something like Bridge Fest. So those things that we try to avoid, and we'll have that in the contracts, that the contractor is aware and they have to reduce their impacts at those times. Like you said, this project is scheduled to start probably in December of 2014 or January of 2015, with the major work starting in January 2015. And it will extend out until April of 2016, meaning that we're going to do some work in the summer of 2015 on the bridge. And then that would be major work, but it will plan in trying to make sure that the tourists can get through, that we have lanes open in each direction at all times. I think it'll go pretty smoothly. It's things that we've had to do before, and we've been able to work through, and we're going to use similar techniques this time to try to make sure traffic is able to get across the bridge efficiently and with the least amount of delays.
And the snowmobile trails, I mean, the snowmobilers probably have nothing to worry about?
We should be able to do that. I mean, there will be some impacts, you know, and some of the only real impacts that we see to the snowmobile traffic will be that probably in January of 2015, where we're going to have to lift the bridge up for a period of time to do that 10-hour closure. And during that 10-hour closure, the snowmobile trail has to be closed. But as soon as we get through that, we'll put the bridge back down into its lowest position and sitting on the bridge seats, and that snowmobile trail can reopen. And we don't really see any real major impacts after that. There might be some short-term ones where the trail has to be closed due to the safety of the snowmobilers, but those should be really infrequent and be of short duration. So the snowmobile trail should be open for the winter.
And I wanted to get briefly into the Lorium Granitoid project, and I was able to head over there, and it just looks completely different, and it really brings out and addresses the downtown Lorium area so well. Can you talk about MDOT's involvement in that project?
We applied for special grant funding to do non-motorized type improvements in the community, and those came to try, and what they want to do is recreate or manage or maintain their historic feel of the community. And one thing that was there was stamped concrete pavements that were installed in 1908. It's called granitoid pavement. It was a patented process. And in 1908, they put in a stamped concrete. It was stamped to look like bricks. And that was one of the main features the community would like to see, would wanted to have come back. The other one is they wanted to make their Peckless Street or their downtown area, business district, get that historic feel to it. And we were able to do that with historic lighting that were part of the grant that we applied for and were approved for, and some historic replicating light poles. So we were able to do that work, and we worked very cooperatively with the village, and I think we created a really nice project.
Now, there are a couple more future projects. If you could speak about the project, I know it's going to be in a few years, but the one that's going through Quincy Street in Hancock.
Yeah, that's if you look at the community, that's going to be our next major project in the Houghton-Hancock area, and it's a project that's on U.S. 41, and it's the northbound portion of U.S. 41 through the city of Hancock, and that's scheduled for 2016. It would probably start in May of 2016. And that's a reconstruction that'll start at the lift bridge. So it'll involve Front Street right at the lift bridge, up the reservation. We'll turn up reservation, and then it'll go turn onto Quincy Street and go down Quincy Street to Gino's Corners. And that's going to be a reconstruction. Basically, it's storefront to storefront reconstruction with new pavements, some new sidewalks. We're also looking at grant opportunities there to help the city of Hancock extend some of their historic lighting. Also looking at things that we could do, such as maybe benches or tree plantings, to try to give the community a sense of identity that they want to have for their community. That project would start in May of 2016. It would run through the entire summer, most likely into October or possibly up to the 1st of November of 2016.
All righty. Well, that's going to wrap up this segment of Copper Country Today. I'd like to thank Andy Sekema from MDOT for getting taking some time to come and talk about some things that some people hate to hear about. Thank you so much for your time.
No, thank you. And I just like to ask everybody, you know, we're going to be out there. We're going to start construction season here, hopefully in the next month. When you come into the projects, pay attention to the signs, slow down, and, you know, kind of give the construction workers a break, and let's have everybody get through the project safely.
Our program is brought to you by the members of the Copper Country Education Association and by the Copper Country Veterinary Clinic, providing the highest quality and medical care to help their patients live longer, healthier lives. Join us again next week for another edition of Copper Country Today.